Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Ireland and France, mostly. So it's a joy to be here. I'm going to lead an opening prayer right now, which is always my joy. Oh, do we have a... No, we don't. We are here to support, as practitioners, we're here to support anybody who wants to have prayer or wants to know what this is all about, what prayer means to us at this congregation. We're happy to talk about that, and we're happy to pray for you. We can have a quick little prayer in the seats if you want to, or we can do something more elaborate if you want. But just come up and talk to us and let us know what you need. So now I'm going to start an opening prayer. Turning within, because Spirit lives everywhere, all around us. But we can connect personally with Spirit internally by going within. Because Spirit is everywhere and Spirit is within. And Spirit moves through each one of us and expresses all the divine qualities of love, intelligence, truth, and power through us, through our actions. And our actions become that which consciousness is. We are responsible directly and personally for becoming that which the universe is and what the universe is all about, and that energy that moves through everything. That's a gift and a huge responsibility that I love to have. So I invite you to know that today is a special day. We have a wonderful service here with Jamie and with Abigail. It's a great place to be, a great place to remember who we are, a great place to aspire to the greatest that we can each be. And so I say thank you, Spirit, for being here, being with us on this journey.
Ooh, so I'm back after being away from here for 2 weeks. I was in Bellingham 2 weeks ago, but I was speaking at the Unity of Bellingham, and Reverend Frank was speaking here. We did a little pulpit exchange. I had a great time with his community, and I heard you all had a great time with him. So we'll be doing that again. That was really great. And then last week, I went to the People of African Descent New Thought Conference, which basically features people of African descent as the main speakers and teachers. And it was really, really awesome. So there was people from Centers for Spiritual Living, from Unity, from Agape, from all around, from the Johnny Coleman Theological Institute. So there was just a lot of different ministers that I had not gotten the opportunity to meet or hear, several of which I had heard before because they're CSL ministers, including my friend and colleague, Reverend Derica Blackman, who I went to ministerial school with, and she kicked off the conference with a bang. It was incredibly powerful, and it moved me so much. It's hard to process everything that was spoken at the conference and how inspired I am as a result of it. And I wanted to thank you all, because some of you may not know that you sent me to the conference. So thank you. I am deeply grateful. And it was good to remember. It was good to remember that everything we're teaching relates to everybody. Everything we're teaching relates to everybody. And there's things that are happening on the planet that are incredibly heartbreaking. Things like racism, things like homophobia, things like sexism, things like division between, political parties. there's things that are happening that are really heartbreaking. And yet at the same time, it was such a good reminder that if we go back to these teachings, this is a healing teaching. This is a teaching that's about healing the world from any illusion of separation. any idea that we have that we're not all brothers and sisters in one big family. And I just love that Reverend Dorica talked about the fact that everybody originated from Africa. And she said, so are we brothers and sisters or aren't we? Right? Are we brothers and sisters or aren't we? And are we treating each other like our family or are we not? And she said, we either are or we aren't. We either are or we aren't. And so we need to take a look at ourselves and say, is there somebody out there in another country, in another political party, in another place that we're going, they're the other. They're the enemy. They're the ones that are the cause of what's going on. Or do we have an opportunity to look at ourselves and say, where have I othered people? Where have I caused somebody to think that I'm the enemy? Or where have I not taken a stand for love where I need to support my brothers and sisters? And so that was that was just the kickoff of the conference. I mean, it was really, really profound. And it reminds me that this whole month we're talking about the fear and the furious, the fear and the furious. And as I was reflecting on this month, I was realizing one of the things, I wrote about it in my monthly newsletter, but one of the things that happened to me as a child, and I'm gonna say I'm not blaming my parents. I actually had really good parents. I'm one of the rare individuals that had both a mother and a father that were incredibly loving and supportive of me. They did get divorced when I was younger, and then I got step-parents who are also loving and supportive of me. So I have counseled enough people to know that that is a very unusual situation. And yet I still had things that happened because of the society that I was brought up in that changed how I behave in the world. And so one of the big things was I was really emotional as a child. I mean, big joy and temper tantrums. I just had the whole range. And as I had all of that range of emotions that I fully expressed, I learned from society that there were some things that were not okay, like my anger, and or crying. And so I was called a crybaby. I was called a hot-headed. I was called a lot of different things as a child, and that informed me of what was okay and not okay. And so what I decided to do was only express the good emotions. And what happened is all the rest of that stuff was still inside of me. I was carrying it around, but I wasn't expressing it. And it wasn't until I found Centers for Spiritual Living, and I reflected back, I was 21 years old, and I reflected back and I went, I haven't cried since I was like, I don't know, 11? Yeah. What happened? It wasn't my parents. What was it? And so I had this revelation that I needed to reacquaint myself with my own emotions. And I'm still doing that, I will say. I'm still not an expert at it, even though I'm 48 now. So I'm still working on embodying and loving myself with my emotions. And also knowing that they're a tool for me. I mean, if God or creator or goddess, whatever your terms are, a source, created me in, you know, with this physical body and gave me the range of emotions, don't you think those are blessed emotions? Like every one of them. Like, why would creator create a human with all these emotions without like having them be a blessing? So if they're a blessing, am I using them as a blessing? That's the question. And I was thinking about this whole anger because our whole organization, Centers for Spiritual Living, is exploring this as a whole. So not running away from the hard conversations, but going deeper into the hard conversations. And one of the things I recognize is anger is more like an electrical current, an electrical current. So electricity, it is, right? It's just, it is what it is. And if you ground electricity well and you utilize the current that it is, then it lights this building, it lights a hospital, it can run a ventilator, it can save a life. It can be in a place of benefit to humanity. But then if it's not used well, it could also harm somebody. It could cause a fire. It could be used for, it's been used for the electric chair, right? So these terrible things that electricity has been used for, is it the electricity's fault? No. The question is the channel of which it is used. And so I want you to consider your anger like electricity. It's the question is, what is the benefit of it, and are you utilizing it for a benefit, for something good in the world? So we all have the opportunity to do that, but the question is, how are we perceiving it? How are we perceiving it? So there was a story, one of the ministers had said this at the conference. I have said this story before. I love it. It's a great story. It goes across traditions. Different religious traditions have the same story. And it goes like this. There was a farmer who had a donkey. And the donkey, he also had a well. And the well was like one of those that's like flat on the earth. It's not built up. It's just flat. Well, the donkey was walked into the well and fell in. It fell in the well, fell all the way down the well. And then the farmer hears the donkey's braying, and he goes over and he looks in the well and he's like, I don't know how to lift it out. I don't know what to do. And soon he was like, help, help, townspeople. And so the townspeople came around and they all looked in there and they said, God, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do with this donkey. And so they said, you know what? You might as well put it out of its misery as soon as possible. You might as well, because this is, we can't save it. We just can't save it. And so they decided that the plan was they were going to bury the donkey. And so they decided to go ahead and take the dirt and put it down in the well. And the donkey was in the well looking up, and the dirt came down and fell on its back. And it was like freaking out first, right? You're like, oh my God, are you going to bury me? And then it hit its back, and the donkey went, and it shook its back, it tamped it down, and then it smiled. And the townspeople kept throwing the dirt in. The donkey went and tamped it down and smiled. And then the people threw it in and tamped it down and smiled. And they just kept doing that, tamped it down, smiled. And then soon they looked in and there was the donkey right at the top of the well. And the donkey just hopped out and went on its merry way. And it begs the question, what are we doing with the crap that's getting thrown at us? Are we using it for our benefit, or are you letting it bury us? Yeah. And so that's the big question, is they meant it for the donkey's harm. They meant it for the donkey's harm. But the donkey used it for its good. The donkey's like, oh no, I'm not going to use this crap as bury me. I'm going to step on that and I'm going to let it rise me up. So you have an opportunity. Every time something comes at you that you think is to bury you or bring you down, how can you use it to rise you up? So anger, I want to get into the anger place. Anger. So anger has a message for us. And there's three messages that anger could be. The first one is grief. I remembered it for the first service people. Grief. Anger is often an expression of grief. Now, grief cannot be ignored. It needs to be processed. It is a physical experience that happens. And so maybe you're grieving a loss of an idea, a loss of what you thought things were going to be. Or it could be a loss of a job or a relationship or a person who's passed on. It could be any of those things. And so when you pay attention to your anger, you want to know what's underneath the anger. What is it? What is the message it has for me? What else could it be? A boundary. Did I get my boundaries crossed and I just wasn't paying attention? And so what is that? It's also, it could be that it's you're feeling defensive because there's something underneath that you want to take a stand for. That's a value that's important for you and this world. And so what is the value that's important in this world for you to take a stand for? What is that thing? So I want you to just think of something that maybe in the last week irritated you. Just, you know, if you need to close your eyes, think of something a little annoying, a little irritating. And when you bring that up, I want you to pay attention to how it operates in your body. You think of this thing, and there's something that your body is telling you. Your body might be, maybe your throat is tight. Maybe your gut, you're feeling it in your gut. What is that? What is that? And so sometimes our bodies tell us information. I'm going to be leading a chakra retreat tomorrow, and the throat chakra, when I feel anger in my throat, it means I might not be communicating what I want to communicate. When I feel it in my gut, it might mean that something, I'm having an intuition that something's off, and I just haven't been able to identify what it is. So as you go into your mind, you think about this thing that's annoying or irritating for you. Ask your anger, what is this about? Is this about grief? Is this about a boundary? Is this about something that's a value that I need to take a stand for? Okay, now I want you to stand up. And now we're going to let that anger process through our bodies, right? Which means you're going to shake it out, okay? Shake it out, shake it out. Shake your shoulders, shake your feet. And now what you're going to do is you're going to take a deep breath in and let it out with some kind of grunt or something, okay? All right. Yeah. All right. Now you're going to breathe in peace. Imagine it's coming from the ground. Now have a seat. Now for me, sometimes once I get, first of all, you don't want your anger caught in your body. So it's good to process it. And second of all is what is the message it has for you? So if it's grief, you want to feel the grief. If it's a boundary that's been crossed, maybe you need to communicate that to whomever you feel crossed the boundary. And if it is a value that you stand for, then maybe it's time to galvanize that value with other people who have the same values and take a stand for something you believe in. So there's this Hindu goddess. She's amazing. Her name is Durga. And Durga, so there was this demon, and he was the buffalo demon, and he kept fighting off these gods, and the gods and goddesses would come one by one, and they would try and fight this buffalo demon, and he destroyed every single one of them. He just was like, you cannot fight me. I am the best demon ever. And so all of a sudden, the gods and goddesses got an idea, a brilliant idea, and that was, what if we got together and we collectively put all the strengths that we have together into one energetic, like one current of energy. And when they recognized what their strengths were and how they could come together, how they could galvanize together, something unexpected happened. From all of their strengths was born Durga. And Durga is this goddess who has every single strength of every single god and on all of her hands. So she's got lots of hands. They're like everywhere, right? And she is like the creatrix of the universe. And she was able to take a stand because there was a collective force that was united and galvanized together to take a stand for what they believed in. And in that, she immediately was able to defeat the demon. Now, the demons in our world aren't necessarily an actual thing. They are an energetic. They are people who've been hurt by other people who've been hurt. So the way we take a stand is we take a stand for love. And we know that as we galvanize our love together, that it is a force that is more powerful than any other so-called demon in the universe. But we have to recognize that sometimes it takes a little bit of that undercurrent of anger in order to wake us up. We have to be awake to the realization that we are co-creators of this world. We are the ones who are creating what's going on in the world. And we can either just let it happen, or we can stand together and say, what would we love for this world to be? And we need to dream it. We need to take a stand for it. We need to say, this is an old paradigm. We're not going to be in that world anymore. We're part of the creation of the new possibility for humanity. Because each and every person here is our brother and sister, and we are here to create a family that works together, a family that loves each other. And we recognize and know we all come from different places. Anybody got like a crazy brother or sister or family member? And do you love them anyway? So can we be that family and recognize we come from different places, but we can love each other anyway and take a stand for each other anyway? That's the kind of planet I want to participate in. That's why I think we were born to be here at this time, because there's some challenging situation that's happening. There's some challenging stuff that's happening, but it's all because we called forth the strength that we were born into to bring to this planet something special, something that's never been done before. And it's exciting, and it's loving, and it's transformative. And it starts with each and every one of us. Where instead of me using my anger to fight against, I'm using my anger to stand with love. And so that's what I want to charge you with. I want to charge you with being in that dream, being in that vision, taking a stand, utilizing your anger and saying, maybe I'm angry because the paradigm I'm dreaming up hasn't occurred yet, but that doesn't mean I need to be angry about it. Maybe it just means I need to take some actions. Maybe it means I need to start speaking about what it's like to live in a world that works for all. Because many people who are angry right now are angry because they don't have the resources. They didn't get the love. They didn't have something that maybe we have access to, and we can participate in sharing and co-creating what it would look like for everybody to have that. So that's the kind of world I want to live in. So I invite you to galvanize your anger around this idea that we can be a stand for love together. And it takes each and every one of us, every single person, to just say yes. Are you with me? Yes. All right. See what happens when you send me to an awesome conference? Oh, so with that, let's pray. And so I know that right here, right now, that something has shifted. Something is transformed. Something is awakened within me, within each and every one of us. And it is that infinite spirit of love, the most powerful force in the universe. And like Durga, we are galvanized in a new paradigm where something new is awakened in us, where we take a stand for that love and what that love looks like. And while it may look different for each and every person, it is the ground of our beingness that we bring forth into this place, into this planet, into this world. And so I recognize and know that if there's anything within me that is about separation, if there's anything in me that thinks that I am not part of this planet, if there's anything in me that doesn't recognize and know that I was born of this earth, that my ancestors are the indigenous ancestors. And maybe my ancestors are not the Nooksack people who loved and adored this land, but my ancestors are from a land that they loved and adored. And that this land and the Nooksack land is the same land because this is planet Earth. And we are all a participant in this land together. Knowing and recognizing that this is a place of holy ground where love shows up to say, you are welcome. We are welcome. We are all participants in the co-creation of what love looks like now. And so I know that in that love, peace prevails. In that love, I'm guided to the next right and perfect steps. In that love, it helps me articulate what I need to say in challenging situations. In that love, I'm guided to the right and perfect actions that are a benefit to everyone and harm no one. In that love, I'm guided and directed and sustained by the infinite spirit that knows only good. And that good is way bigger than I can ever imagine. And so I welcome that truth in my heart, in my soul, in my beingness, in who I am and who I express. And I know that I fully express my strengths, my genius, who I chose to be in this world, and I know that everybody else in this community is awakened to their genius so they can shine so bright. And for that, I am deeply grateful because our light shines forth, and in that, the darkness dissipates, and all is well. Amen, ashe, and so it is.